What John keeps showing us over and over and over about unbelief is that unbelief is a closing of the eyes to the clear evidence. Unbelief is a closing of the eyes, a hardening of the heart to the clear evidence.
It is an issue of faith at the end of the day. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time today returns us to John chapter 10, verses 22 through 39. Evidence that demands a verdict. And really, at the end of the day, there's enough evidence already. It comes down to an issue of belief, an issue of faith. We invite you to spend time with us today. Here's Pastor Chris now with this Friday edition of Abounding Grace.
We're coming out of the book of signs, as they call it. But you'll notice along the way that John keeps hitting the same themes and really showing us the ugliness of unbelief and how awful unbelief is and how hypocritical unbelief is. And this is one of those texts that really confronts that strongly as Jesus. Again, you'll notice our Lord does not back down from anything here. He continues to call people to faith and to warn and to give them the truth that they need to hear. So beginning at verse 22, at that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him. They said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true," and many believed in him there. And there ends the reading of God's word. Well, remember the context here. Jesus has healed a blind man. What a passage that was in chapter 9. And that man had been set free from years of being unable to see. Remember how Jesus did it? He gave an illustration, a walking illustration of blindness, of Israel's own blindness and their need for washing. And in the rest of that chapter, remember we studied, the Pharisees had essentially excommunicated that man for being healed and refusing to deny Jesus. It's really an awful chapter in chapter 9 of what they did to this poor sheep. I mean, it's just really heartbreaking if you think about it. They didn't care about him. They didn't love that man. They didn't love the sheep in Israel. They ruled them harshly. They browbeat them. They forced them into submission. I said last time they were just in straitjackets. They felt that they couldn't move. They were the worst kind of authoritarians. They were brutal. And what we're finding here as we're continuing to go is that the reason, and this is one of the big issues in our day, the big hot button topic is abuse, and there is real abuse, there is no doubt. But the issue with abuse here, what we're finding is that abuse in the ministry is really fueled by hatred for Jesus and unbelief in Jesus. That's what that unbelief and hatred for him really does produce abuse among the sheep. And that is exactly what John is now showing us, how bad the unbelief and abuse was of the shepherds in Israel. It's challenging for us and helpful because it's the heart of the issue that John is using the shepherds of Israel to say, let me show you how bad this is. And let me show you, number one, if you want notes for today and you want somewhat of an outline today, let me show you how absurd their unbelief is. Let me show you how hypocritical their unbelief is. And then thirdly, let me show you how impossible their belief is. That's how you could break this down. That's exactly what this passage is intending to show us today. You can't read John's gospel and not be pressed to understand what true life in Jesus looks like. You heard from the forum. We must be born again. And baptism signifies that need for a washing of the heart to have life implanted there. Or you're just dead in all of this. You're just dead. And this is something that John is constantly showing us. He's not going to let us leave this gospel without understanding what life looks like in somebody and what it doesn't. And that's why this passage is helpful this morning. So you'll notice here as we pick up, we're going to begin here with the absurdity of their unbelief. You'll notice here in verse 22 that as we begin this section, we read, at the time the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter. We are told that he has come to Solomon's portico here, and this would be a very important spot for the future. But we read here in verse 24 that he was really surrounded and accosted by the Jews, who are now challenging him, particularly with something that I found very interesting in their challenge, as they ask him this important question. They gathered to him, around him, and they said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" So what you should say, really? He's kept them in suspense as to who he is? And this is not a sincere question. This is a really surprising thing that they would say to him. If you are the Christ, would you just tell us plainly? Would you just come out with it? Just say it. Just say it. Now, you know this is not sincere. What they want from Jesus, what they're trying to get from Jesus, is him to simply say it in such a way that they can either pick up the stones, as is done in this passage, or they can tell on Rome that this guy has come and we can get him put out. This is not a sincere question, and I think it really helps us to understand here what they are trying to do and why Jesus at times did not just plainly come out and say it so openly. Sure, he did say it to certain people, didn't he? Did you notice he said it in the last chapter to the blind man? Did you notice he said it to the woman at the well? What kind of people are those? Very sincere people. Sheep. With these people, he's not just giving it to them, which is an interesting thing here when you think about it, what particularly that he is doing. In very clear ways, he was saying these things to the needy, but since they were not sincere and they had one goal to destroy him, Jesus here says something fascinating in answer. I told you, but the issue here is you don't believe. Now, I think this is such an important point in the Gospel of John. I think it's something that you have to stop and give a moment to. It's not that people are standing back. This is what this is saying here. And understand this. This is really important for our Christianity in America today. It is not that people are standing back and confused about Jesus. As if they're saying, we're really confused about who Jesus is and the claims that he makes, and therefore we're really just not sure whether we should believe in this Jesus. We're really not sure whether we should. What John keeps showing us over and over and over about unbelief is that unbelief is a closing of the eyes to the clear evidence. Unbelief is a closing of the eyes, a hardening of the heart, to the clear evidence. I mean, think about it right now in this world. How many people refuse to get up this morning and to come to worship the Lord and to come to worship Jesus? And when you stop and you ask that question, why? What is it? Did you notice what happened in the last chapter? When the blind man was saved, that's exactly what happened in his life. He fell at his feet. He worshiped Jesus. That was the priority of his life. That was the evidence that life had been given to him. And that's what was shown to us with the blind man, of somebody who had truly been given life and the attitude and the heart that was changed. He loved the Lord. He had learned who the Lord was. He saw what the Lord had did for him, had done for him. And he responded in faith and he believed the promises. But what we're seeing here is not that with the people who refused to believe, things were unclear and that things were not evident to them. Why are you keeping us in suspense? That's a charge. Why are you being deceptive? Why are you holding back? You ever feel that way about Jesus? Maybe in our Christianity, that he holds back from really showing himself? I mean, that's our big struggle. We'll look at here in a moment that we always want a little more from Jesus, don't we? We always want a little more. We're always a little dissatisfied with Jesus. And I want you to notice here, that's the single issue that's coming out here about Jesus, the frustration with him about his lack of giving them more. But is that true? Is that true? If Jesus is who he says he is, what do people need? Why don't they take him seriously? Why do people refuse his worship? Why do people refuse to come as Thomas will later in this book and say, my Lord and my God, and worship Jesus? John has been teaching us something the whole time about the human heart that is very important here. And it's not that people were simply unsure about Jesus. John is telling us that the human heart can't see Jesus. The human heart is hostile to Jesus. They have closed hearts as to what is clear about Jesus. Why are you keeping us in suspense? Why are you keeping us in doubt? Are you really the Messiah? I just can't figure this out. No. That's not the issue. Listen, that's never the issue. I just can't figure this out. That's not the issue. That's the kind of, in the Gospel of John, playing games with Jesus that he doesn't allow to happen. And it's a big point in the Gospel of John. Do people sit around today and really thinking about Jesus? Are they really thinking about Jesus? And are they really sitting out there right now and saying, I just wish I could figure this out. I wish I could understand. I wish I could see him. I wish he would show himself. Are people really doing that? Well, I think you know the answer to that question. Many people just don't care. But for those whom Jesus makes absolutely, you might say, no impact in their life, does the evidence lack? That's the question I'm going with. Does the evidence lack? I think this is today why we sit back and think that Christianity's hard. This is why we think that Christianity is hard, because if Jesus were here, wouldn't he show himself more? Wouldn't Jesus give us more? Wouldn't Jesus make himself, and won't he do that for us? Why won't he do that for us if he's real? Won't he make himself more openly known? And we struggle with this. This is the heart of the problem with the church today. This is why we want more entertainment. This is why we want to feel something more. This is why we're in search for something more. If Jesus would do things more in broad daylight for us so that we could see and make this easier to believe, then it would be all easier for us and we wouldn't have all these problems and the place would be packed, right? Might I add that this is why it's really hard to be reformed today? Because our faith says that we should be satisfied with his word in a Christian environment that has decided they want to see Jesus their way. Proof? Well, forget the sign of the covenant this morning. I mean, really. Forget the sign of initiation into the household of God. You just put a few water drops on heads. It's not very exciting, is it? Well, that depends. That depends. Where's Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Is there evidence? This is a really important point, because we're always looking for a better experience. It is in us to always want something more than what we've received. It is in us to be dissatisfied with what Jesus has done. It is built into us in the human heart to dislike this. Do you know that? That's why it's a fight. Why do you think we're reading a fight constantly on the pages of Scripture? You're in it. And for many of us, that's the same attitude as the Pharisees. There's lots of Pharisees. And guess what? I'm one. It's built in. We're never quite satisfied with what he's done. That's the human heart. That's the problem. So Jesus answers that, doesn't he? He answers that here and he says, listen, I've told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They just saw him, by the way, heal a man who had been bedridden for 38 years. That's pretty remarkable. That's a pretty remarkable work that he just did on the Sabbath, didn't he? And then on the Sabbath again, last time, he healed a man who had been born blind from birth. Remember what the blind man said? When, since the beginning of the world, has anyone ever seen that? When has anyone ever seen that? In the next chapter, guess what he's going to do? Raise the dead. Benny Hinn's never done that, by the way. Did you know that? Only Jesus and his power. God has preached his word to us all our life. Many of you have been raised in the church all your life. Marvelous works are recorded for you in an inspired word. I mean, just marvelous works. How much time has God given you to study in these minds that he put in your skulls? We're going to start education year to study him, to learn him, to know him. All his marvelous works, all his marvelous ways. And we have all these real testimonies of people. I mean, just read John in 1 John 1. Listen, we touched, we handled, we saw. All these marvelous testimonies, 500 people at the resurrection saying, oh, it's all true, it's all true. These promises are true. Everything that you've studied, everything that you, the cloud of witnesses is not, they're not rooting us on. They're testifying in Hebrews 11 saying, you need to know it's true. That's what they're saying. Here's my point this morning. No amount of evidence will ever convince the human heart to believe. And no amount of excitement will ever produce it. You'll never be satisfied. It's a human heart issue. And it's not really about evidence. What we're finding in John is that what the people are doing with the evidence are closing their hearts to the evidence even when they saw a resurrection. You see how absurd unbelief is. You tell me, if it's not evident by now that God has answered us, that we were made and formed into the image of God, and that we're in this mess that nobody can solve, that the world is spinning crazily, it seems to us, out of control. We believe in God's control. But the Lord tests us with these things and shows us these things. They have no answers. They're all searching. They're all struggling. They're all empty. Nobody's finding. And God has announced for thousands and thousands of years that he gave his only begotten son. And all these people in this world have bumped into Jesus and they are worshiping him for thousands and thousands of years. And they believed him and they've trusted and they've gone to their deathbeds and they've been burned at the stake and they've had nooses put around their necks and they believe this unto death. You tell me if the evidence isn't in front of you. We get up early at 8 a.m. to worship the Lord. The evidence is everywhere. That there is still a church in this world that gathers around a word in a technological environment where nobody really sits and listens even to a lecture anymore. How boring, you know? It's not about evidence. Unbelief displays the absurdity of people hardening their hearts to Jesus. Remember the story of Lazarus? And the rich man, Lazarus, didn't have much in life. He died and he went to heaven. The rich man never took Jesus seriously. at all the good things of life.
Never really worshiped, never gave his attention to all the good things that mattered. Well, one day he died, and in the worst story ever told, he ended up in hell. Just a dreadful story, isn't it? Remember what he said to Father Abraham? Wasn't even trusting his heavenly father. He was trusting everything else. As he was in hellfire, he begged Father Abraham, "Father, would you please send Lazarus to my father's house, because I have five brothers. I don't want them to come here. I didn't take any of this seriously in life. I didn't believe. I played fast and loose with the whole thing. I made every excuse not to worship. It was not in my heart, and I really, really made the greatest mistake, and I landed up in hell. Please don't let any of my family come here." Wouldn't it be awful to think of one of our family members who died and went to hell and is thinking that about us? Abraham says, "They've had preachers all their life. They've heard." "Well, no. But, if they see one rise from the dead, then they'll repent." "Well," said Abraham, "they're not listening to preachers. No amount of evidence, even if one rise from the dead, will make them believe." What do you want? The greatest show? You want the greatest display that makes you feel great today? You think that's going to give you faith? Mm-mm. Unbelief is absurd. But then second, unbelief, says Jesus, is hypocritical. I want you to notice how Jesus handles this. Verse 32, they want to stone him. Look at all the rage. Look at all the anger. Look at all the hatred. It's just everywhere in our society. There's Pharisees everywhere. Jesus says, "Many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of these do you want to stone me? I came and I healed, and I set free an adulteress. I made a man whole after 38 years. I gave a man sight who was blind. I'm going to raise the dead. What do you want to stone me for? Would you just tell me what you really want to stone me for?" And don't miss the connection. They say, "We don't want to stone you for a good work, but you're a blasphemer because you, being a man, make yourself God." Don't miss that. Anyone who wants to question whether Jesus is God, the Jews believed it. They knew exactly what he was claiming.
Well, they knew exactly what he was claiming, didn't they? But at the end of the day, they still did not believe. They still didn't have faith. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? Faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Well, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our hope and prayer is you've been encouraged by today's program. If you would like to take advantage of many of the resources we have available on our website, might I suggest paying us a visit? agradio.org. Videos hosted by Pastor Chris, articles written by Pastor Chris, past radio programs are housed there as well. Again, agradio.org. Plus, it's a great place to give tax-deductible donations to the radio ministry, as it is through those donations that we're able to continue on this radio station. Again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Questions? Address them to questions@agradio.org. And don't forget, when you visit agradio.org, you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts as well. Well, once again, let's catch up with Pastor Chris as we close out today's broadcast with a final thought from today's message.
Sabbath is a day with God, not a day of burden, not a day of what can I get away with? It's a day of joy with God. It's a day of worship. It's a day of happiness. It's a day in our hearts. It's a day because we get to learn him and know him, and our bitterness is put away. This is the good news. In the darkest places where unbelief is exposed, that's why I love the Gospel of John. In the darkest places where unbelief is exposed, Jesus showcases the greatest work of divine grace. In a messed up world, if ever the doctrine of election makes sense, it does right now. The evidence is in front of you, but that's not the issue. Unbelief
must be overcome by the Good Shepherd who gives life.
Well, on Monday, we'll continue our look at John chapter 10 and evidence that demands a verdict. We trust you'll join us then. Have a great weekend. Be found in the Lord's house this Lord's Day. We'll see you Monday. God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.